Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First of all, I just want to say a big thank you to the band for, frankly, humouring me with some of my choices. I spent ages and singing on the phone to each other, searching for new, searching for hymn tunes, and also, I believe they've learned some new songs.
I think you're all going to have
a
learning experience. So,
you're never going to be easy and straightforward with me, was it, darling?
It's great.
Why did you pick me second? Okay, so those of you who don't know me, I think we've got quite a bunch of people who don't know me. My name is Heidi Knight, and I am a Suffolk girl through and through. And I lived the first 28 years of my life in the small village of Sudbourne, which is on the coast between Orford and Snape. My parents and many of my extended family are Christians, even back to my grandparents, their siblings and families, and beyond. Both sides of my family had been part of strict Baptist circles for some years. Now, while many of my more immediate relations lived locally to where I was, and many of us worshipped at the strict Baptist churches in Sudbourne and in the neighbouring village of Tunstall, I do have a little bit of a pedigree in that I have a great-grandfather on my father's side who was the minister at the Baptist church in the nearby village of Somersham, and two great-uncles, one on either side of my family, who had been ministers. One was at Sudbourne and Tunstall churches and the other one at Little Otley Baptist Church. So as a child, growing up in the good old 1970s in a small village in the countryside, there wasn't a huge amount of options for activities. In the next door village of Orford, there was Brownies, that was Monday nights, I think, and there was a man and a lady in the village who gave piano lessons. I went for a number of years, but no talent was discovered. A bit of a waste of, you know, the 50 pence, whatever it was, it cost my mother to send me away. But Friday night was FOY at church. FOY, Fellowship of Youth. And this was for juniors, intermediates and seniors. It covered everyone, basically school age up to 18 plus. Now, I loved junior FOY. We sang choruses, we had Bible-based quizzes, we played games like miming out Bible stories, and we played Draw Your Swords, and of course, we had Bible stories. And if we were really the flannel graphs came out for the stories. Now, those of you who don't know what a flannel graph is, ask an old person. On Sundays, there was Sunday school and the services. Sunday school and a service, not Sunday school in a service, had to go out twice. Just Sunday school in one service a week to start with, but as I grew older, I was allowed to go to the evening service as well. Now, what for me was best about FOY, Sunday school, and the services was the singing. I have always loved singing, and I believe it is through the numerous choruses and hymns I sang as a child that I learned most about God, his love for me, and my need for salvation. One of my favourite choruses was number 666 in the CSSN, ironically, in the CSSN chorus book on Scripture Union, which was called The Stone Was Rolled Away. Now, we weren't so old-fashioned at my church that we only used that book, which I believe was first published in 1921. We also had more modern choruses. These were handwritten on large sheets of paper, clipped to an easel at the front. Very high-tech. And a couple of my favourites of those were called Oh Yes, I'm Going to Live for Jesus, and the other one was called S for Sin. You may or may not know these. The second two, you will know the tunes.
I can even prove to you. There we go. 666, we found the book concerned. Steve's going to play the tune through. Because I'm not entirely sure that even Brian knows.
Jesus died for me on the cross as the punishment and rose again to set me free. When I sang other choruses like Cleanse Me From My Sin, Lord, I really meant them. So when my friend who I'd grown up with at church told me she had become a Christian, I didn't really know what she meant. Become? Aren't we Christians already? Was my thought. I was about 9 or 10 at this time, and this idea of becoming a Christian was in the back of my mind now and then, but nothing really came of it, and I never spoke about it to anyone. When I was 11, I went to Pioneer Camp, which was a Christian camp with several 11 to 18 year olds in a load of bell tents in a field just outside Aldbrook. Very exotic travel. 10 days of earwigs in your sleeping bag, straw mattresses, bucket toilets, no hot water, tent inspections, and porridge which stuck to your bowl even when you turned it upside down. I only went once. Can't imagine that for me, can you? It was a Christian camp, so of course there was a lot of Bible teaching and studies. And it was here that the concept of becoming a Christian started to unravel itself. I began to understand I wouldn't go to heaven automatically just because I came from a Christian family, went to services, sang hymns, read my Bible. I had to make a choice for myself. But I already believed it all. What was I to do? I remember sitting by myself in the tent, singing quietly to myself, "Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go, the person I would be. In your presence rest, for I know I always can trust you." I wondered if I really was a Christian. But as time went on, I heard testimonies from other people, young and old, who'd had similar experiences to me. So while I couldn't specifically set a date for when I became a Christian, I knew I was committed to God and my faith and trust were in Him. I can't say I was a very good Christian. Did I stand up for my God and my faith? No, not always. Was my behaviour always that what a Christian should be? No, not always. Was I willing to go along to worship services? No, not always. Maybe that was me, just me being a teenager. Or it may even have been Satan trying to make me have doubts and fail, and using me being that age and of that mindset as a way to get to me. In 1987, the Dick Saunders Way to Life Crusade came to Bromswell, just near Woodbridge. I was around 15 at the time, and along with my family and several people from my church, I went along to many of the meetings. I saw a number of people I knew going forward to commit their lives to the Lord. I stayed in my seat, but I knew I had to do something about my faith. And when one Sunday evening around that time, one of my friends said, "I want to be baptised," I replied, "So do I." And a short while later, we were. One of the hymns we sang at the baptismal service was one of those ones where the words are thought-provoking, and when you are singing, you are asking yourself, is this really true for me? It is a hymn which urges us to consider to never be ashamed of Jesus. I still find standing up for Jesus or my faith when I should a challenge, and the words of this hymn remind me I need to do better. It's called "Jesus, and Shall It Ever Be, a Mortal Man Ashamed of Thee." Left school and had started work at Lloyds Bank in Woodbridge, and I was there for 11 years. During that time, in 1995, I met Phil, who also worked for Lloyds Bank. And on the 30th of September 2000, we got married and I moved to live in Ipswich. Now, I'd already transferred to Ipswich with the bank the year before. I was working in a back office role, which was based on the second floor of the Lloyds Bank building of the Cornhill in town. Now, the next hymn, and we're going to sing in a moment, is one I associate with this time in my life. Because it was during this time, through my teens and my 20s, that all of my grandparents passed away. As I mentioned earlier, many of my extended family loved the Lord. So although I was sad to lose them, I knew they were in a better place. At the funerals for each of them, we sang this next hymn. And it's in the plan for my funeral too, so take note, get in. The words remind us that whatever life throws at us, God is always with us to guide and be faithful to us. And the last verse reminds us, one day we will leave this world behind and will be forever with the Lord. All pain and grief will end, and we will meet those of our loved ones who are in Christ once again. Set to the beautiful tune Finlandia by Sibelius, the hymn is Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on my side. So let's pop back to the year 2000 and a pair of newlyweds. I knew in Mimi to Ipswich that I wanted to find a welcoming, friendly church to attend on a regular basis. And even though Phil's background didn't involve attending church, he was happy to accompany me. I had never heard of Stoke Green Baptist Church before, but as Phil grew up, just up the road, in Chatsworth Crescent, I went to Halifax Primary and Stoke High Schools, he certainly had. So we came along one Sunday, and we saw Gary and Di here. Phil knew them from working at the bank. And shortly after we got married, I actually moved to another role in the bank as an admin assistant to the local director, which also happened to be the office where Di worked. And this new role also meant I started to get to know Jane as well, which we also got to the bank. We were made to feel very welcome here at Stoke Green. 23 years later, we're still here. Over the years, a few changes have happened to us. I left the bank after 20 years altogether and became a full-time student for 4 years, graduating with a BSc Honours degree in 2012. While Phil has changed jobs 3 times during that period, I found myself not being able to find employment after graduating, so I became a lady of leisure. On the church front, during that time, I was asked to join the Sunday school team as a helper. I can still remember Brenda and Karen doing a kind of pincer move on the fishes on Sunday morning as part of their battle plan to get me on side. Whilst I am not particularly a children person, I firmly believe that children's and young people's work in a church is absolutely vital. I wouldn't be the person I am now without having had the benefit of it while I was young. So how could I say no? I soon progressed to becoming a teacher, and now, in addition, I am also the rota writer and syllabus deviser. In 2013, I became a church member, and in 2017, a deacon. With being a lady of leisure, that meant I also had time to get involved in drop-in and lunch club, and also messy church, and the church kitchen sometimes feels like my second home. Now, despite coming along here every week and being very involved in the church, I can't say I'm always living my best Christian life. The doubts of my younger years as to whether I really am a Christian or not often resurface. You see, because Jesus has always been a part of my life, I've never known what it is like for God and church not to be part of who I am. I often wonder if I really believe it, or have I just accepted it because it's what I've been taught. After all, I've known nothing different, and I've never had a big light bulb moment where I realise that God loves me and my need for forgiveness. But I once heard it said that if you know you really love someone if you can't imagine life without them. That is, of course, a reference to romantic love. But if I apply that principle to God, can I imagine life without him? No, I can't. Or at least, I don't get very far if I try. So while I may be able to resolve whether or not I am a Christian, my next doubt is, have I got too comfortable with God? Am I taking him for granted? I'm sure many of us have experienced complacency. We get comfortable with a person, position, situation, because we know it very well and have got used to it. And sometimes we can begin to forget how important that thing is or what it's done for us. Well, if God is always there, guiding the way, looking out for me, loving me regardless of what I do, then do I need to spend time with him, talking to him in prayer, to ask him to do what he is already doing? That's a thought I often have now where I find myself. And the next hymn I've chosen addresses this question, and is one that really challenges me every time I think about it, let alone sing it. And it's the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh,
going to continue to leave you to it.
So prayer is something I've always really struggled with. I confess I don't always speak to God enough about the big decisions I take in my life, or even just say thank you for the blessings he has given me. I don't always talk to him about whatever it is I'm fretting about, even though I often tell the youngsters in GRID they can talk to God about anything. Nothing is too big, small, or silly, and even if they are cross and angry about something, they can still express that to God. I forget that if I was to just to talk to him, while some of my problems wouldn't go away, I would be able to deal with them better and have peace. Now, I should know better, really, especially as back in 1983, when I was on the Pioneer campus telling you about earlier, I was given a bookmark by a young lady, a visual aid, given a bookmark by one of the young ladies who was one of my tent leaders. And it says at the bottom, "He cares for you." Part of the quote from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The whole verse says, "Leave all your worries with him, because he cares for you." If I am taking his friendship and love for granted, then that is something I need to work hard on to rectify. But the one thing I must not do is to forget that one big thing he did to make me love him back in the first place. I said earlier, I knew I was a sinner who needed forgiveness, and I knew Jesus died for me on the cross as the punishment and rose again to set me free. Jesus isn't just my friend, as we just sang about. He is my saviour. Luke 1, verse 69 says, "He has provided for us a mighty saviour, a saviour who took the punishment for my sin to make me right with God." And that punishment was nothing small. He suffered and died on the cross. He died as the sacrifice for my sin. He is also the great high priest. He not only was the sacrifice, he offered it to God. And in doing so, he tore the curtain in the temple, which separated the people from the most holy place, and opened up the way for all of us. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 23 says, "My friends, the blood of Jesus gives us courage to enter the most holy place by a new way that leads to life. And this way takes us through the curtain that is Christ himself. We have a great high priest who is in charge of God's house. So let's come near God with pure hearts and the confidence that comes from having faith. Let's keep our hearts pure, our consciences free from evil, and our bodies washed with clean water. We must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. After all, we can trust the one who made the agreement with us." Sometimes I do need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for me and that it means I can have hope. Celebrating communion is the perfect time to ponder that. And the words of the next hymn frequently come into my mind at that time, particularly the second verse, which says, "Teach me that if none other had sinned but I alone, yet still thy blood, Lord Jesus, thine only, must atone." Even if I was the only sinner who had ever existed, the price needed to be paid, and Jesus did that for me. And that is why I mustn't take God for granted. The next hymn is, "Oh, Teach Me What It Means."
Thank you.
that what I believe is true, because that means eternity in heaven, which sounds wonderful, and I can't wait. Back at the Pioneer Camp that I mentioned earlier, and throughout sort of my younger years, I remember a song which was very popular. And it went, "Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with his glory and grace. I want to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there." I think Diana's that one. We were sang in parts, and in around, with a load of young people, it went on forever. Heaven is going to be wonderful. I don't really understand what it says in the Bible about what heaven will be like. Some of the descriptions seem quite fantastical, and to be honest, I don't think I want to know, because I might imagine heaven being a certain way, but when it comes to it, I could have got it very wrong. I don't want that. And for someone who doesn't like surprises, but likes to plan and know everything in advance, what I do understand about heaven is we will leave this troubled world behind and have peace and rest at last. And best of all, we will finally get to meet our Saviour face to face. Now, believe it or not, my last choice is something a bit more modern. That's right, Golden Oldies, haven't we? It's from my strict Baptist upbringing. Now, I don't want to wish my life away. I am looking forward to heaven, but I don't want to wish my life away. But there is a day that all creation is waiting for, a day of freedom and liberation for the earth. We will meet him in the air, and then we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. Oh, yeah.
And then
words of hope, words of power. Heidi, thank you so much. I'll be completely honest. When I saw the song list, I was like, ooh, this is going to be different. It's been wonderful. It's been amazing. And every single song, I now understand why you've chosen it.